Greetings, geeks, and welcome to our Summer Blockbusters podcast series. I'm Regina McMenemy, the lead ambassador for the Geek Embassy.
And I'm Rhonda Oglesby, the wildcard ambassador.
This is episode 164, recorded on August 21st, 2016. For this podcast season, we're watching summer blockbuster movies. This is our last month for August, and we've been watching movies, analyzing, celebrating, and critiquing our thoughts about those movies. We were glad to take your recommendations and suggestions for movies throughout the summer, and we hope you've enjoyed our discussions. This month, Rhonda saw Suicide Squad, and I saw Star Trek Beyond.
We'll close out, as usual, with a couple of streaming recommendations from us. Summer's almost over, but network TV doesn't start until September, so maybe you just need to scan through deep in Netflix and find something else new.
Yeah, there's lots of recommendations out there, right?
Yep.
So I saw Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, and I've pretty much heard nothing, so I'm very...
Oh, really? About Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah, so I'm dying to hear what you thought.
Oh, awesome. I had seen tons of good reviews and people, raving about how good it was, which is actually kind of bad, because then you go in with really high expectations. And not to say I didn't like it, because I did. I did very much enjoy it. I saw it with Julie, and we had, girls' night to go out and see it. And it's another in the J.J. Abrams Star Trek series with the revamped characters of the original series. So the new Kirk, the new Spock, the new Uhura, and Bones, among other characters. There were lots of great... They pick up pretty much in the same area that the movie before ended, and I can't remember the subtitle of the one before it. But they are on the ship. They've been in space for a couple of years. There is a brand new outpost, which is absolutely gorgeous. I think the special effects and the design of that outpost, which I can't remember the name of off the top of my head.
It wasn't Deep Space Nine, was it?
It was not Deep Space Nine. I just think about Deep Space Nine as they were flying up to it, and I'm like, well, that puts Deep Space Nine to shame. Because have you ever seen, so there are these spherical puzzle mazes with a... marble that you run through it, a metal marble that runs through the maze.
Yeah.
And you have to balance the ball just right to kind of move the, through it. That's what the space station looked like.
Oh.
It's clear. It's got all these round environments rolling through it. It's constantly in motion, which is creating the gravity, et cetera. But literally, the outside of, it's outside, they created a fake world, so there are plants and there's water and there's buildings, and they're all on these circular, things that are kind of revolving around within the space station. And you can see all of it from the outside.
Wow.
And I have to say, for effects and CG graphics and animation, it was among the best I've seen. It was just absolutely, the concept was new, it was beautiful, it was absolutely stunning. It was the kind of space station that would make you want to be an astronaut. You're or even just live in a world that you could actually travel to, something like that.
That's nice.
So that was really spectacular. It's interesting because the movie starts out with Kirk sort of talking about being a little disenfranchised about having been on the mission for so long and feeling like space was so big and so overwhelming, hoping that, they're going to have some time on the space station and getting off the ship might, help him in his, sort of little crisis that he's going through.
Yeah.
And I'm going to warn everybody, I'm going to spoil good chunks of the plot here. This movie's been out for a few weeks, so I'm not too worried about it. But I did want to just warn you, if you haven't seen it and you don't want spoilers, come back and listen to us later. So, of course, there's a crisis. There's a ship that flies up to the space station that's expected and is in crisis, and her ship has been attacked. And one of the things that they do in this that I thought was really cool that they had never acknowledged in any of the Star Trek that I've watched, and I haven't watched all of them, but I've watched most everything, I think, except Voyager, is they actually have they actually show the Universal Translator learning her language.
Oh, that's
cool. So they show her getting the translator, and they show it, like, still learning. So you hear her speaking in her native language before it translates it into English.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a really nice nod to that process that's kind of, you know, dismissed by the Universal Translator usually, and not, you know, shown and not demonstrated. So I really appreciated, much like I felt in Enterprise, there was one scene. I always thought this about all the Star Trek series. Never did they have an episode where the gravity on the ship became a problem, right? Like air was a problem, or, you know, bulkheads or whatever, but never did they show the gravity giving out. It's fake gravity, like, it's created the ship, so the fact that somebody could attack the ship and have gravity go away is a very real thing. So I was always like, that was like a missed opportunity for them. And they did that in just one scene in the pilot of Enterprise. The captain is taking a shower and the gravity goes off while taking a shower, which was like one of my favorite scenes. So it's like that kind of acknowledgement of, yes, there is this technology that's supporting these, you know, this story that you're telling. So anyway, there's a crisis, and of course they have to send the Enterprise out to fix the crisis, and then all hell breaks loose. But of course, at the end, it sort of brings everybody back together and gives them a new purpose for sort of moving forward in the storyline. I love the reinterpretation of the original series characters. I think Bones is awesome.
Oh my God.
And gorgeous. And Julie has a big old crush on him. So I like.
Did you tell her we met him?
I did not.
Oh yeah. John met him. I didn't get to. Of course, John shows up at my live podcast at Dragon Con and said, oh, guess who I just rode in the elevator with? Damn it. Why didn't you invite him to my podcast?
Right, exactly. Come have drinks with us. Yeah, exactly. We'll give you a drink for free because you're famous and gorgeous and we love you. No, I didn't remember that. I'll have to tell her that. I'll have to tell her. Let her know. But yeah, so I mean, I like the characters. They gave good backstories to some of the characters. Like Sulu has a daughter and he is partnered, so he has a male partner. Mm-hmm. It's the first time they've had that sort of kind of come up, and they didn't make a big deal about it. They just showed them together and it was like, oh, that's awesome. Instead of like this big reveal where he had to like tell everybody that he was gay.
Aww.
Right? You know, so that was pretty cool. In terms of the story, I think I'm a little burnt out on the Enterprise to the rescue, where there's some epic bad guy who wants to destroy humanity for whatever reasons he wants to destroy humanity, and this, you know, Enterprise has to save them. I think I'm a little burnt out on that storyline. But I did appreciate the calls back to the original series and some of the scenes that they had. So it had its good points. It had its bad points. Is it something you were interested in seeing and just haven't seen, or is it just not on your radar?
There was a lot out.
Yeah.
At this point, this past month, a lot of things came out. I still have not seen everything that I wanted to see. So,
yeah, it's funny because I saw Star Trek Beyond the day Suicide Squad opened.
Yeah, and I didn't go to Suicide Squad the weekend it opened. We went during the week. We went on a Tuesday night, which is a discount night here.
Yeah, we have that too.
But we still had quite a crowd. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that too, especially with the summer. With summer, I found a lot of people doing the. One of our theaters does a $5 or $8 Tuesdays. So, yeah. So tell us about Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm actually looking here trying to figure out what have I missed so far. Let's see what's coming up in there's August. I got Suicide Squad in, and I miss, Pete's Dragon.
Oh, yeah, I
want to see that.
Yeah.
And it looks really beautiful. Kubo looks beautiful. Ben-Hur is a personal choice. I want to see that. And I know there was something else. Yeah, and I'm going to see Star Trek. I mean, that's just going to happen. So
yeah, it's just one of those.
Yeah. Because I want to see how they're doing with the series, how they're moving through it, and where they're bouncing off. Because actually, that kind of brings me to the point of what I thought about Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad, as many people could have probably heard, broke the record for largest August opening ever.
Wow.
In August, yeah. The I think the previous record was like 78 million or 84 million, and they did 134.
Wow.
In August alone.
Right.
And I was surprised to hear that this beat the opening that Deadpool had, which was around, I don't know, 78 or 98, something like that. That really, really surprised me. But Deadpool opened in February, and they had really good marketing, I think, besides the fact that it had been a meme and viral online before it was ever a movie. So all of that always makes me extremely curious. So I got to looking around online, and I was trying to figure out, okay, Suicide Squad, how much did they spend on marketing?
Right.
Because that's what did this.
Right.
It has been nonstop, besides the absolutely gorgeous poster work. Billboards, coloring, lettering, all of that. That I can't find those numbers. All you can find, I found that, let's see, how much was it? $175 million to make the movie.
Wow.
So, of course, $100 million of that went to Will Smith. And Harley Quinn's costume didn't cost anything, so they didn't lose anything in that because she's not wearing anything. And
well, they had to pay for the ponytail holders.
Yeah, but still, at $175 million, she probably just brought them with her from home. And I've got scraps of fabric in a box that will make three of her costumes.
Right, yeah.
And I know for sure that there were some actors playing the military guys in the war room that must have been boom mic operators because they can't act worth crap.
Yeah, I heard nothing but bad things about Suicide Squad.
Well, to be honest, it was not a bad movie. It was not a record-breaking $134 million movie. It was not Deadpool. It was not Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
But
they were trying to make it both. I read an article that said they went and edited in so much more humor to it after Deadpool had been so successful.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to tell that they really did not know what this movie was supposed to be. But it wasn't nearly as disjoint as, I forget what the other compilation, Batman, Superman. I mean, that was total confusion. This wasn't that bad.
Right.
In fact, if anything, this was vanilla.
Right.
I wouldn't say that it was a bad film. It was a vanilla film. Deadpool was an artistically created film of a superhero. It was smart. It was witty. It had
good writing. That's
fabulous, like, writing.
I don't understand why they constantly overlook how important the writing is.
Well, I think that all plays into the question that I have is why did this happen?
Right. And I have one idea about why Suicide Squad was successful.
What?
I think it's because it's so many dispersed characters brought together. I think you have a whole pool of Harley Quinn fans, of Joker fans, who, like, that just gave it a certain breath.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's got so many unknowns in it, though. That's what's kind of a mystery. Now, the freshness, I know that Harley Quinn is getting a huge raise in popularity.
Right.
And Leto's version of the Joker is revitalizing that character. So that very well could play into it, because as soon as right. as soon as you started seeing that in the trailers, it changed
yeah.
things.
Right.
And I know that my husband said that he had been reading something about the guy who either wrote or conceptualized the Harley Quinn character in the movie, mm-hmm. and just said that it was dead on. It was just it was just perfectly done, and I completely agree. I had also heard other people say, you know, this is nothing but a Will Smith movie, you know.
Right.
It's totally wrong.
Right.
It turned into a Harley Quinn film.
Right. Because they realized when they started marketing it that she was hitting better than he was.
Oh, yeah. Dramatically.
Yeah.
We will see so many Harley Quinns at the cons.
Right.
It will be nauseating. It's like, yeah. go home, well, put on some pants. And
right. I have a friend who got her toenails painted in Harley Quinn, you know, a Harley Quinn design.
Yeah.
Based on, you know, after having seen the movie, so.
Well, the incredible marketing, I also think it was the timing. We're nearing mm-hmm. the end of the summer, and this is when a plethora of big blockbuster movies are coming out. Of course, there's the sex aspect of it.
Right.
And also, it is one of a few films with just the heroes are bad guys.
Right. That's what I was also what I was going to yeah. say. I think that that's a really attractive trope now.
Yeah.
Because I think it has become a trope where you have the bad guy as the good guy, and the good guys having to become bad guys, hence
yeah.
you know, Batman and Superman being all messy.
Yeah. Well, and pretty much what I mean by it being vanilla is what I've always said about these group character films is that you can only do so much.
Right.
You can't go into depth with anybody, and if you want to go in depth, your writing has to be dead on.
Right.
Your acting has to be dead on. So if
yeah.
you've got 3 minutes on screen where you're going to do a backstory
right.
on this character, you better be damn good at it.
Right.
I think they only sort of did that well with Harley Quinn. I think that they cheated her just a little bit, and that was the most compelling backstory to watch. But in general, the movie was what you would expect. Introduce each mm-hmm. character, give you a little bit about their background and how much of a badass they are, bring
right.
them together. They don't get along. They don't want to do what they're doing. Something causes them to rally together, and they fight together and win at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Guardians of the Galaxy, everything you ever, you know, start the first Star Trek reboot, everything, any movie.
Right.
I made a quick list of pros and cons. The pros, costuming was great. Art direction was great. CGI was within limits. It was a very beautiful film. I enjoyed watching it. As far as the characters are concerned, I started reading Suicide Squad from its original issues, and I was interested to see what they were going to do with that. I think they did the Enchantress very well, because she is a completely out-of-control character that I never understood why they put on the Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as she turns, she's like, I'm out of here.
Right.
They can't control her. She completely takes over everything, and you just can't control her. I don't know why they included her. And they did that. That was great. Colonel Flagg is a lovesick puppy for the alter ego, or the true character, June Moon, who turns into the Enchantress. That's definitely his weak spot. They did that well. I was really surprised they put Boomerang in the film, because when you go back this far in history and you look at the original Suicide Squad, some of the toughness doesn't really come through. And Boomerang is sort of a hysterical character to think of as a villain.
Right.
And when I heard they were going to put Boomerang in the film, I was just like, oh, my God, how are they going to do this?
Right.
They did.
How are they going to, yeah.
It was well cast, and it was well played. I think they did a great job. Boomerang is one of those that is completely untrustworthy. He manipulates other members of the team to try to escape. He'll try to partner up with them and say, you do this, and then I'll do this, and then we'll be able to run. And the other guy always gets caught or dead. Hmm. And Boomerang ends up getting away. And so they played to that in the film, which I thought was great. And
right.
Amanda Waller is played by Viola Davis. It's fantastic. Amanda Waller is a cold-hearted bitch. And it doesn't take you long in Suicide Squad. And she doesn't hide it either. She's like, I don't give a shit about you people.
Right.
Period. And you're going to do what I tell you to do because I have you over a barrel. And we all know I have you over the barrel. So we're not mincing words here.
Let's not even just mess around. We don't need to deal with
that. No. And
that's awesome.
She plays that completely.
Cool.
There really is no story. I think that they cast Colonel Flagg inappropriately. They kind of made him out as a scruffy asshole.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, he's really a really straight-laced, uptight kind of guy. There's a lot of people. Tom Hardy, I think, would have played him well.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Margot Robbie did a great job as Harley Quinn. And Will Smith did a great Deadshot. It's just it's a difficult character that most people aren't familiar with, but he did a great job with that. And Jay Courtney's the one who played Boomerang. He was good. But, yeah, Rick Flagg, he should have been done by even Chris Hemsworth, who's overdone.
Right.
Tom Hardy would have been a good one, though. It's that whole stern look. Oh, you know who would have been good? What's his name from The Walking Dead? Rick Grimes' friend that he shot, his best friend. Damn it.
The guy who played Shane?
Yes, Shane. And he recently played
he was
Punisher
in Dead
Daredevil.
Daredevil, yeah.
He would have been good because he's sort of like this tragic, beaten character, and he's tough and rough and straight-laced, but perpetually sad. But
yeah,
it was
kind of has that.
It was pretty, and I do not regret seeing it in the theater. But it is a setup.
Yeah. So is that what you would say? You know, see it because it's pretty enough to be seen on the big screen.
It's pretty enough to be seen on the big screen, and it really, I just look forward to the second one because
right.
this
yeah,
is
to see what they do from here.
Yeah, this is all a setup for the next one, so that they can establish the characters. Now, if they introduce a bunch of new bad guys, they're going to screw this up.
Right, right.
They've got
right.
a good cast of bad guys. Just stick with them because in Suicide right. Squad, in the comic, they were constantly trading them out.
Right.
Boomerang would disappear, and he would be in Australia somewhere, so they would have to use somebody else. And it was just a giant rotation of bad guys.
Right.
But they've got a really good balance to a cast here, and like I said, it's all just a setup. They're now a team, so let's go make movie two.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I would say. Okay. So what about a summer recommendation for you? What are you going to close out the summer with?
I have a couple of recommendations. I have kind of the duh recommendation for streaming right now. If you have Netflix and you have not yet watched Stranger Things, what's wrong with you?
I don't.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God, Ronnie, you got it. Tonight.
It's good.
You have to start.
Okay. All right.
Oh, God, it's so... I shouldn't even say that. It's horrible. You'll hate it. It's the most mediocre thing ever.
Wow. Well, you think reverse psychology works on me?
I'm trying.
No, I'm trying your reaction alone stopped me in my tracks. That's amazing.
It's... You need to watch it. Everybody needs to, if you haven't, finish listening to our episode and go watch it. Go start it. And this is coming from someone who doesn't watch scary things.
Cool.
And I loved it.
Okay.
And I loved it. So.
All right. I can't wait.
It's not. Yeah. It's enjoyable. There's a good dose of nostalgia for some of us of a certain age. But still great stories. The geekiness of it. I'll tell you this, Rhonda. The show opens, or I should say the miniseries, because that's really what it is. The series opens with a bunch of pre-adolescent, you know, tween-age boys playing D&D.
Oh, cool.
That is the opening scene.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. It's so good.
Okay.
It's well written. The music is outstanding. The characters are great. Winona Ryder is sort of the big name star that's in it, and she does a good job. She's a little one note in it, but given the circumstances, it's understandable why she's a little one note in it.
So
it's definitely something I would recommend. And like I said, it is off genre for me. Mark came to Chris and said, you guys have to go watch this. And I had heard people buzzing about it on Twitter, and I was like, whatever, you know. And so when Chris is interested in watching something on TV, I pretty much drop whatever it is I might be watching to watch.
Yeah, and I respect Mark's recommendation, too. So.
Yeah, Mark has good taste in things like that. So it is definitely, you know, worthy of the – I think it's only 8 episodes – then they're full hour episodes, but, I think we watched 3 or 4 the first night.
How about that? Oh, that's good. That's
yeah. And then finished it within 2 or 3 days. Like, and we were like, you know, had one night where we had trouble getting the toddler to sleep, and we're like, oh, you gotta go to sleep so we can watch.
That's good.
Yeah. So it's definitely, so that's my like duh recommendation. Cause everybody's talking about it. It's like the big thing right now. My, fun recommendation is I love, I'm really enjoying the new cooking shows they have on Netflix. And I just started watching, Good Eats.
Oh yeah.
I have never watched Good Eats before. And, I'm absolutely in love. I know, it's Alton Brown, right?
Yeah.
It's the guy from it. I know him from, Cutthroat Kitchen, because he hosts that. So I know his kind of character from that. But I had never seen his show, and I've really enjoyed just like a few of the tips I've picked up on from it. You know, I watched one on, shish kebabs. I really wanted to go like, you know, roast meat after watching it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And he makes it look so easy. I know it's not. I know it's not.
Netflix has got some pretty high quality food shows right now.
They do. They do. They had a new contract with the Food Network. That's one of the reasons why we're seeing so many of these, which makes me sad because like the Good Eats is a collection. It's not like the whole season.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm a little bummed about that because I'd really like to see more of them. But it is very enjoyable. Definitely check that one out. So what do you have for recommendations for summer streaming?
Well,
end of summer streaming.
I recently on Hulu, they put all 3 seasons of The United States of Tara on.
Oh, yeah. I watched the first season of that. I never went back to it. I should go check it out.
I think it's okay. There are some things about it that kind of bug me. The complete and utter lackadaisicalness of the parenting. It's like, do you?
Yeah.
It's that kind of part. What I try to do is I try to grasp this as this is a story of a family that is truly like this.
Mm-hmm.
It is a story of a family that has loose parenting.
Right.
And for some reason, their kids very, very luckily face no serious consequences to the reckless and horrible things that they do.
Right.
Besides that, I really enjoy Toni Collette and
tremendous
amount of work that she put into it.
Yeah.
I really wasn't going to recommend it today. You mentioned, what is it called again? Stranger Things?
Yes, Stranger Things.
I really think that I should have been watching that instead, but I have binge watched, which is what this is about. I have been binge watched United States of Terror over terror.
United States of Terror.
probably over 3 or 4 days. So I'm already on season 3.
Oh, wow.
But it carries enough of a story. There are no really big giant surprises, but I think they do a good job. Their characters are consistent, even though they frustrate you. You're like, why do you keep doing this?
Right.
Especially our husband, Max. He gets very frustrating, but at least they illuminate. Why don't you ever get angry? Yeah, right. That's what I'm sitting here thinking. What, you know, he's just such a good guy. He's just such a
right
guy. And they explore that, so that's
That's good.
But my high top rated recommendation is 10 Cloverfield Lane.
I haven't watched that.
Oh my God, you have to watch this movie.
Okay. Okay.
This is what because of, I think the marketing was minimal.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be. Because
right.
It's one of those movies you can't tell anybody about it.
Right.
But it also shows crap. I mean, you know, if you can just buy the presidency, what does that say about the office of the president,
mm-hmm.
you know? So
yeah.
Suicide Squad can buy the biggest box office with
right.
marketing. But
right.
10 Cloverfield Lane, which is a fantastically written film, an acted film, and I just don't think it gets enough press. And I have to say, we purchased it on Amazon. It's been sitting in the queue, and John would be like, hey, do you want to watch? Nah, I'm not much in the mood. It doesn't matter. Watch it.
Okay.
It's a complete surprise.
Yeah.
That's
kind of how I felt about Stranger Things, too. Like, it just kind of popped up on, people started talking about it on Twitter, and I don't know if I'm just not in I don't see a lot of marketing, I think, a lot of times, because I don't see a lot of commercials, but it's a Netflix series, so
yeah.
Like, you have to be in the right place to see some of those. And I love when shows that don't get a lot of marketing, that don't have a lot of that backing, have the kind of success that you're talking about.
The movie's over with, and I want to cosplay this character so bad I can't stand it. She's fantastic.
That's awesome. Okay, well, that's
yeah.
one reason alone.
It was over. I want to see it again, and
right.
I want to cosplay the character. All of you have seen it, know exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's,
all right, well, I'll have to check it out for that alone, since we have a mutual cosplay that's going to be coming up here.
Yeah, con season is kind of starting.
Yeah.
We've got,
yeah, well, I think for some of the bigger cons are more in the summer, but we have some coming up. What's the con you're going to be at in September?
Dragon Con.
Are you going to Dragon Con?
It may as well
yes.
be called Harley Quinn Con, because that's all
yes.
we see.
Yes, probably.
That Deadpool.
Quite possibly.
It'll be Deadpool
yes.
and Harley Quinn.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm going to Rose City Comic Con. Isabella and I are both going, although we're still waiting to hear if we have press passes, so...
Yeah.
Well, we bought regular passes. And then most excitedly to announce to our podcast listeners, if you are in the Seattle area and you're interested in Geek Girl Con, Rhonda, Isabella, myself, and my friend Jen are going to be presenting a panel on Sunday of the con in the afternoon, on capes and baskets. What our current interest in superheroes and has to do with fairy tales.
Yeah, and if you're not intrigued by that, I don't even know why you
fairy tales and superheroes, yeah.
Of course, that came from the brain engine of Regina, so.
Yeah, it did, actually, and a very strong martini that I was having at the time I came up with the idea. But
you didn't tell me that.
Yeah, it was over in drinks with Jen, who's going to be on the panel, where I was like, you know, we should do a panel together at a con, and... It was like, what can we talk about? And we've both taught fairy tales before. And it was like, let's do fairy tales and superheroes. And then we started listing off 100 different ways that they kind of intersect with each other. So,
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, so come to Geek Girl Con October 9th and 10th? 10th and 11th?
No,
I can't
9
remember.
And 10.
9 and 10. Yeah, October 9 and 10 in Seattle. And you'll get to see us. And it'll be the first time in 2 years that Rhonda and I will be in the same place again.
Yeah, we don't care if anybody else shows up.
No, you know, nobody else could go to the con. It doesn't matter because there's going to be a party because the two of us are going to be on the same side of the country together.
We'll be getting sushi and martinis.
We will be getting sushi and martinis and maybe a few choice desserts. So thank you for joining us. This is our last summer movie series podcast. We've really enjoyed this series. At least I've really enjoyed this series. I thought we had a good time sort of talking about movies. Hope you guys enjoyed it as well. If you have an idea for a series for us to run, let me know. We're always sort of looking for some ideas and maybe seeing what else we might come up with. We hope that you enjoyed our suggestions and our commentary on the movies that we got to see for this summer and helped make your summer viewing memorable.
Absolutely. We are the Geek Embassy. I'm Rhonda Oglesby, the Wild Card Ambassador, telling you so long and thanks for all the fish.
That's one of my all-time favorite lines.
The best.
It is. I'm Regina McMenemy, Lead Ambassador for the Geek Embassy. You can find our podcast episodes and hangouts on iTunes, Stitcher, and our podcast host, Podbean. Visit thegeekembassy.com for links from this show and to see the new and exciting content we are creating for the site. Just a shout out to Julie, who has created not one, but two articles about Star Trek geekiness for you. She did a Star Trek themed party planner. So all Star Trek themes and Star Trek themed games. So check that one out. And she also created a Star Trek playlist.
Oh, that's great.
For Star Trek music for you to play at your Star Trek themed gaming day. So make sure to check out both of those, partially inspired by the Star Trek Beyond release this summer. So make sure to check out that content on thegeekembassy.com.
Cool, yeah.
Many, many thanks to our fantastic editor, Ryan Broom, at Desert Tree Media, and our faithful listeners and community. We wouldn't be anything without you guys. Thanks for listening, and until next time, get your geek on!